Hello.
Hi, yes, Kevin Harlan. This is Max from WSJU Radio, St. John's University.
Hey, Max. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How's your day going?
Well, I'm driving over to St. Louis to go do the Missouri Valley Conference Championship for CBS. I'm just going down I-70 here and just driving. So I thought this would be a good time for us to visit if you needed to.
Yes, I appreciate you getting back to me. It means a lot. I've been listening to you call games for years, and you got to be ecstatic about Kansas this year, 19-8.
Yeah, I am. I'm glad. I think had they not ended the season so abruptly last year, that they would have been a number one seed, and they would have really had a chance to do something, and then it all ended, and then they were just kind of left with nothing, and then they're on, I think, a watch list right now by the NCAA, and they're being investigated, and that's hurt their recruiting, and that's a whole other story. But they're surviving. They, I think, will get in the tournament, and they'll be probably a 3 or 4 seed, and they're kind of picking up their pace here late in the season. I think they'll be in pretty good shape. How is St. John's doing, by the way?
St. John's is... they're not doing as well as Kansas is. But, however, they did beat Providence the other night, and they do play Seton Hall tomorrow night.
Good, good. Now, are you doing anything with them? Are you doing any of their games or anything?
No, I'm actually not in the play-by-play. I'm actually just a radio host up here. I'm one of the top guys up here.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Good for you. You know, so many kids that I talk to all want to be in play-by-play, and just talking to a kid in Texas who clearly is not a play-by-play guy, but I think has a lot of possibility to be a host, and that can be actually as, if not more, fulfilling than being a play-by-play guy. So but I think everyone kind of gets in. I don't know if you're the same way, but everyone kind of wants to get in the business to be a play-by-play, and there's so many other great different avenues they can take, and I'm trying to get this young man, and he's at the University of Texas, who's been communicating the last couple of months, to take a look at that, and I think maybe I finally got through to him. So I'm finally glad to talk to a young up-and-comer who like yourself, is interested in that side of it, because I do think that is a terrific way to go, and just opens you up for so many different possibilities.
Yes, 100%. I completely agree with you, especially now with the podcast era that we're in right now. I'm someone that loves live radio.
Yep. Good for you. Are you a senior now at St. John's?
Yes, I'm currently a senior.
Good for you. Are you from the area?
Yes, I'm from Connecticut originally.
Great. Well, it's a terrific school in the city and the media market in the country, and I'd be surprised if people that are in the business haven't heard your work. And graduate this spring, or where are you in terms of graduation?
Unfortunately, I will be graduating in May, but unfortunately I won't be walking. That's a disappointment to me because of COVID-19. It's something that I wanted to experience my whole life, was walking and receiving my diploma on that stage in college. And
It
was heartbreaking to hear. I won't be doing that.
That's too bad, Max, because I get it. I get it. We've had 4 kids that have all had a chance to do that pre-COVID. And I think about all the families and kids like yourself that have not, they're not going to have that chance. Maybe they'll do some special kind of ceremony when things are cleared, and they'll invite people back like yourself, and you'll get your time to go across the stage, which would sure be nice. Mm-hmm.
I hope so. I really do. I want to get into your experience, because actually before college, you had experience in the field in high school. And I have talked to people that have had experience at their radio stations in high school. I didn't have that experience.
Yeah, we did. I went to a all boys Catholic school in Green Bay, and it was a 10 watt radio station. So it probably only carried about 5-6 miles. But it was run by the students, and it was then overseen by members of the faculty that took that as their outside teaching role. and had to, at that time, I'm going back now to the mid-70s, you had to get a license, an FCC license, to be on the air. And there were only, I think, like five different offices around the country that were FCC federal license locations. So one was in Chicago. I remember as a 16-year-old getting my license and driving down there with two other guys and took the test and drove back to Green Bay. It was about a 4.5-hour each-way drive. And how eye-opening that was to drive in a big city and then, you know, go to this big building and take this test and hope you passed. And if you did, then you could get on the air. But you had to be 15, I think, at the time to get a license. Of course, you don't need that now. But it was all part of the process and very natural to us then. But it's like if you began playing golf when you were like 4 or 5 years old. And like anything, the earlier you, like in the arts, like if you sing earlier, if you play golf, if you learn to shoot a basketball, if you learn to paint, you know, like any of that kind of stuff, the earlier you start, the better off you are. And that was true in broadcasting, because I was doing a lot of things, like by the time I got to college, the kids that had not done any broadcasting had not even thought about doing, but I was already 3 years in. Mm-hmm. I started when I was a sophomore. Officially, I used to do games off TV in my bedroom, but I used to, you know, by the time I got to college, I had 3 years of a lot of on-air experience already, and that was huge. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like dog years. It's like every every year you do it as a young kid, it's like 7 years the older you get. So I was really lucky. When did you have a chance to start?
I started my freshman year of college. I didn't have the opportunity to start in radio in high school because my high school didn't have a radio station. But as soon as I got to St. John's, I was like, where's the radio station? I want to get involved right away.
Good for you. Good for you. Always wanted to do it, did you?
Actually, radio was something that I always was interested in. I didn't realize I wanted to do it until I started going on with my shows my freshman year, and I decided then this is what I want to do. Growing up, I listened to Mike and the Mad Dog every day, listened to all the hip-hop stations, all these stations.
You know, it's rare to find someone, again, in college that is deep into the radio side. Everybody has gone into, you know, doing games on the internet that have TV cameras and are doing a TV call, so they never develop their voice. I always say, you do radio, and like you, a talk show, hosting, you can do anything. Because you can think off the top of your head, you have a voice that's pleasant to listen to, you know, the cadence and the rhythm that are involved, and I just think that is just irreplaceable. I think that's how everybody should begin in this business, is begin with radio and a lot of it, because you can carry that so well. Whereas if you start in TV, you're not used to being, you know, descriptive and thinking about voice. You're not thinking necessarily about presentation. You're thinking about the picture and getting in graphics and all this other stuff that has nothing to do with you. It's all about the telecast. If you develop your voice, the ability to think on the go, off your feet, then I think it just sets you up so much better for the business.
You're absolutely right. And what did it mean to you to call Super Bowl 45 when the Packers defeated the Steelers? Because your father was affiliated with the Packers, Bob Harlan.
Yeah, no, it was huge. It was huge. He had actually been involved in two different Super Bowl eras with Green Bay. He had hired Ron Wolf and Mike Holmgren and had to okay the trade for Brett Favre back in the early 90s. And, of course, they went to the Super Bowl and made it in 96 and won. And then they kind of started all over once those guys had left and hired Mike McCarthy and hired Ted Thompson, and then was in the room and they took a chance and drafted Aaron Rodgers and had to okay that trade too. So that was, you know, it's rare to find in pro sports, and he was acting as the president because Green Bay is owned by the city, so the president is the de facto owner. But he had to reconstruct the team twice in the front office, and was a part of two different Super Bowl champions. So it was pretty special. That was the first of 11 straight Super Bowls that I did, and that was certainly about as memorable as any, just because he was on the podium and was a part of the success. He had just retired a couple years prior to that, mm-hmm. but was then still is chairman emeritus. So he's been a part of the organization, but he is, he's very proud of those two accomplishments for sure.
That was just an amazing experience for you. And I'm sure your father was very proud. My favorite all-time call that you did, it's going to be interesting as a Knicks fan in 2012 in the playoffs, when J.R. Smith rushes right past LeBron James and dunks the ball in Madison Square Garden and the crowd goes insane. I mean, what's it like calling games in the Garden, especially when the Knicks are playing good basketball?
Well, there's no place like it, none, in the NBA. They've got beautiful buildings for sure, but the Garden has retained a lot of what made it so special. And it's been around as long as any building in the league. It's got tremendous history, and it's in the mecca of basketball. I mean, New York is the center. The league is always better when the Knicks are playing well. They represent the biggest market. They get the most attention. Even when they're bad, it's shocking how much attention they get. But they are beginning to turn the corner clearly.
Oh, yes.
New coach, new feel, and that's fun. It's probably my favorite venue to call a game. I'd say before the new stadiums were put up, Boston Garden and Chicago Stadium were on par with the Garden in New York, but now the Garden is by itself in its own category.
I'm pretty sure you've called St. John's game before, have you?
You know, I have. I'm going back now a long time. Mike Jarvis may have been the coach.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. It was a while ago,
yeah.
A long, long time ago, and it was not in New York. Something tells me it may have been in the tournament. Something tells me it may have been at UConn. You know, way back in the day. In fact, I think it was. The more I'm talking about it, I think it was at UConn. Mm-hmm. And so that was a long time ago. But the more I think about it, yeah, I've done, but just the one St. John's game. Mm-hmm.
And your daughter has also gotten involved with broadcasting as a sideline reporter. What's that mean to you as your daughter following in your footsteps and creating her own lane?
You know, I told her not to get involved in broadcasting. I said it was hard. So difficult because of, you know, just the difficulty of the business unto itself. And then as a female, you're judged differently than a man is. They look at your earrings and lipstick color and what your hair looks like and your clothing. Well, they never even think of that stuff for a guy. So you have like a whole other layer of scrutiny on you that's very tough to get around. And then you throw on social media. It's very difficult. But what I was most proud of, Max, is that when she was at the University of Georgia, which is a terrific journalism school, mm-hmm. I kind of outlined before she went what I thought she had to do, since I knew that she was serious about the business. And she did it. She had long nights and in the editing bay until the wee hours of the morning, gave up a lot of the social activities that is so much a part of college life. She was in a sorority and enjoyed all those things, but really was dedicated to the business and covered all the non-revenue sports like equestrian and wrestling and women's softball and like all the sports that were not the glamour sports. Now, because she did that, they also said, you know, she hosted their Saturday morning game day program before Bulldog football games at the stadium, which was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And she did that from the time she was a freshman. So they obviously spotted something in her, but she really worked hard. And I always told myself that I would get a feel for just how dedicated she was to the business by what she did in college. When you're not paid, and it's all part of the process, and she went above and beyond what I expected. She has continued the same work ethic now. I'm so proud of the worker she is and what she's done, and how in a very difficult time for a lot of young broadcasters, she's been able to still keep things kind of glued together, and which has been hard to do for so many. So very proud of her. I knew she'd be a success. I never dreamt it would be at this level, but she's done a great job, and she's such a hard worker. I'm so proud of her for that, maybe alone.
And congrats to her. Kevin Harlan, is there anything else you would love to tell the audience here? Any advice that you would give to the play-by-play announcers? Because I'm sure they'd be delighted to hear what you had to tell them.
Well, I just think that delivery and voice is such an important part of it. Now, you can learn how to be a good reporter. You can learn how to write a story. Mm-hmm. You can learn how to do some of those types of things, shoot a camera, edit tape. You can learn those. And the more you do it, like in anything else, the better you get. But the voice is something that comes from you. And delivery, which involves pace and resonance and diction and tempo and periods and breath and like all of these things, is so important. And it's very difficult to learn because it comes from your own skill set. Now, you can learn and you can be trained, but it's still a very difficult process and can be lengthy. So the earlier you start working on voice, and I always say, you know, find some voices that you love to listen to and not mimic, but listen to their voice in delivery. Tape, you know, 10 seconds, 20 seconds of them, and then tape 10, 20 seconds of you and play them over and over back to back and listen to the difference in the way they do it and the way you do it. It can serve as a roadmap. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, but you can get a map on how to develop your voice and how the experts and the pros do it. Two people I suggest for people to listen to, if you're a male or female, Dan Shulman. I think Dan Shulman right now has the best voice in sports. Mm-hmm. And the best female voice I've heard has been Megyn Kelly. I think Megyn Kelly's voice is outstanding. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, we have a business with a myriad of voices that sound different. None sound alike, and that's great. But to begin the process, listen to a voice that is like regarded as amongst, if not the best, in that category. And it's a great way to learn how to form your voice. And then there'll be a time, as you've studied that voice and practiced that voice, you're going to take that off-ramp, and you're going to put your own spin on it, which is what you want to do. But to get out of the blocks and get off that launching pad, I think there are a lot of great voices out there, and those are two of them that I really, really like. And the other thing I would add about voice and delivery is that your voice will change your entire life. I'm 60. My voice is different at 60 than it was at 50. And it was different at 50 than it was at 40, and so on. And that's the great thing about that instrument. It is always evolving. You're always trying to improve it. You should constantly self-evaluate and see where you are and how pleasing your delivery is, and you'll tweak. The greatest performers on stage and in concert are always working on their delivery and the way they sing, the way they breathe, the way they, you know, the way they perform. And a broadcaster is no different. So it's a lifelong endeavor. And if you like the challenge of the business, if you like the business of broadcasting, it'll never seem like a job or a drudgery it'll seem like you're always investing in your own product and enjoying the process. And that's really what it's all about.
That's great advice. Kevin Harlan, I want to thank you for calling into my show. It's been a delight. I'm sure everyone has taken their notes, especially if they're in the broadcasting and play-by-play field. You're right up there with Wilt Chamberlain, Gail Sayers, and Paul Pierce from Kansas.
Thank you, man. That is a high compliment, and I appreciate that. And don't think for a second that all of us in the business, in every business, but in broadcasting in this particular conversation, don't think about what the students have gone through, the difficulty they've had over the last 12 months, how different it's been than our experiences, and that we've got great sympathy for each and every one of you. And I would like to think that people in a position of hiring great young talent like yourself will be even extra sympathetic and open to giving people like yourself that opportunity. We that have not gone through it don't know what you've all gone through, but can appreciate a lot of what it's been like, the disappointments along the way, whether it's not getting your diploma, not being in class, not getting to do a lot of things socially, all of it. We get it, and we feel for you. And with the best wishes that the next year is doubly gratifying and doubly satisfying in your personal lives and in your professional life. And if you're still in school, then in your student life.
I want to thank you again, Kevin. It was an honor, and I look forward to, in the future, hopefully seeing you call some Knicks playoff games.
I'm hoping, Max. Yeah. I'm counting on it. And then I'm counting on great up-and-coming broadcasters like you stopping by to say hello. I think that day is sooner than later. I think it's closer than we think. So let's keep our fingers crossed and keep doing all the things we're told to do, and that day will come, like I said, sooner than we think.
You're absolutely right, Kevin. Kevin, I want you to take care. Stay safe, and good luck with the game tonight.
Take care, Max. Thank you again.
Yes, no problem. Thank you, Kevin.